Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any kids who want to come forward? Just you today?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. All right. We heard in our first reading a little bit of a story that's somewhat familiar, right? Noah and the Ark. Okay. You've heard that story before, right? What do you remember about it? I had to build an ark for any animals, and then there was a flood. All right. So hold that one in your mind. Let me ask another question. Have your parents ever told you that if you do something for them, you'll get a reward?
No.
Okay. I'm hearing a little bit of disagreement over there. Have you ever told him, let's say, if you go out and shovel the walkway, I'll give you $1. That sound familiar at all?
He's never followed through, but...
That's going to be the next question. All right. That's the next question. So, all right. Hypothetical question here. If your parents were to say, if you go out and shovel the walk, I'll give you $1. Hold that one in your mind. What would happen if you went outside and shoveled the walk? You expect them to give you $1, right? Now, what happens if they tell you, if you go outside and shovel the walk, I'll give you $1, and you don't do it? Do you get $1? Why not? Exactly. All right. Very good. Have any of you had those sorts of experiences? When someone says, if you do something, I'll give you something in return.
That's called going to work.
It's called going to work for some of us, yes. If you do your job, you get a paycheck, right? If you do the job, you get the paycheck. If you don't do the job, what happens then?
You can lose
your job. Exactly. You can lose your job. What happens if you decide to buy a car and it's going to take you 5 years to pay off this car and you pay on the car for a year and then you stop paying? You get to keep the car? Why not? Because you haven't paid the whole bill. All right, very good. What we are really dealing with here in these stories is the idea of whether we are contract people or whether we are covenant people when it comes to our relationship with God. When we have a contract, it is, if you do this, then you get this, right? And I'm going to tell about covenants and stuff and how they're different. Now, if God told us to keep all these commandments and then you get the reward of heaven, what happens when you don't keep those commandments? Why would we still go to heaven? Because God forgives us. How is that different from the idea of
if you shovel the walk, you get a dollar. And you don't shovel the walk, and you don't get the dollar.
How is it different?
Anyway, how is it different?
God's not giving you that dollar.
Because it's not a contract.
Because it's, we don't have, exactly, because we don't have a contract. We have a covenant. So, we have a whole situation with Noah and the ark. God had created this beautiful world, and he put people in it who were not robots. He gave them the opportunity to do what he asked them to do or not. And what do they choose to do? Not be very obedient. And so what happened with Noah and the ark? Yeah, and what happened to the rest of the animals? They died. I know, it doesn't sound too good, does it? I know, the animals, they died. Yes, and the people, and they died too. And God decided to start over again. That's what we're dealing with in these stories today. So let's stop right there, because I'll let you go back to your parents and your sister. So let's pray. Oh, merciful God, we thank you that we do not have a contract with you, because we don't seem to be able to live up to your expectations of us and the promises that we make to you. Lord, we now enter the season of Lent. We ask that you create in us clean hearts, create in us new hearts. Let's start over again from this day. Help us from this day forward to follow you. We ask all things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know, how many of you would have wanted to come forward when I asked questions like that?
I think Kelly did a good job.
In our first reading, we're just in chapter 9 of Genesis, and things have already gone horribly wrong with the world. That God created a world and called everything that God created good. And then, almost immediately, we have sin entering the world. And then sin continues to permeate people's hearts. And sin just continues and continues and continues until God looks at all that God has created. And this is when I'm glad I'm not God, because I would have just said, this was an interesting experiment. These human beings, though, I don't think I can deal with them anymore. And that would have been the end. But what we're told in Genesis is that God saw the wickedness of the world and strongly considered just wiping everything out. But he found Noah and Noah's family. And Noah and his family found favor with God. And so God decided to start over again with Noah and his family. And in our reading of today, the very end of that portion of Noah's story, you hear God saying to Noah and to his family that God was establishing a covenant with them and with their descendants and with every living creature, all the birds, the domestic animals, every animal of the earth. So God's covenant is not just with human beings, it's with all of creation. And God says, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God says, I'll make a sign as an acknowledgement of this covenant. I'll put my rainbow in the sky. And when I see it, and when you see it, we remember the covenant. And what does God ask Noah to do in return? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing in here that says Noah's supposed to do anything. There's an expectation on the part of God that Noah is going to do something. That Noah is going to follow God and be a righteous individual. And that from him and his family, the earth will be repopulated. From the animals that come off the ark, the world will be repopulated. And creation starts again. And then what happens almost immediately? We're told Noah plants a vineyard and gets drunk. And ends up naked out in the field, and his sons have to cover him. And it's starting all over again. You would think that after seeing all that God has done, saving him and his family from the ravages of the flood, that Noah would do better. And he doesn't. And if this had been a contract, you would have had both parties making agreements. God would have said, I am not going to destroy the earth by water so long as you hold to what I teach you to do. And then as soon as Noah sins, God can then inflict the wrath of another flood, wipe everything out, and start again. But this isn't a contract. This is a covenant. A covenant where everything is really on God. Everything is on God. Noah's not asked to do anything, which is just as well, because like all humans, he's going to mess it up. Now, what's the difference between a contract and a covenant? So they say a contract is generally between two people or two entities. It's a legally binding agreement. And when one person fulfills that person's part of the bargain, the other person needs to fulfill that person's part of the bargain. If this person fails to perform, then this person no longer needs to perform. The contract is broken. In a covenant, you have a relationship. So that even when one person does not perform as expected, the other person is still expected to perform. It isn't immediately broken. Can you think of a relationship that's like that, that's a covenant relationship?
Marriage.
Marriage, exactly. Marriage is a covenant, not a contract. Remember those wedding vows? I promise to love, honor, and cherish, things like that. Well, what happens the first time that you don't honor your spouse? The first time you say something disrespectful to that person or about that person? If it were a contract, it's all over. You didn't keep your part of the bargain. Our marriage is done. And that's not how it works, is it? And sometimes that's the thing. It continues over and over and over again to a point where something has to occur that says this relationship is over. Where you end up going to a court and having a judge tell you that your marriage is dissolved. But until that time, that relationship exists. And this is what we have with God, a covenantal relationship. And during the course of Lent, we're going to be talking about the covenants that God has made throughout the course of time. So starting with this first covenant with Noah and Noah's family, that the world would not again be destroyed by flood. What's important is not so much
the world being destroyed by flood, or how many animals were on the ark. The real issue here is the faithfulness of God. Does God keep God's promises? And the answer is yes. God keeps God's promises. And even when human beings are unable to fulfill what is expected of them, God continues to keep God's promises. And God continues to engage in covenantal behavior with God's own people. And we'll talk about what happens with Jesus, the new covenant. We hear those words as we prepare for communion. We hear about the new covenant that Jesus makes. Because Jesus is the one who can keep those promises. A human being cannot, but Jesus can. In our psalm, we heard a cry for help. When I was listening to one commentator, that person said, Jesus would have known this psalm. And perhaps during that time, as he's out there in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, he calls upon God using the words of this psalm. And perhaps he did. When we call out to God in prayer, we're relying upon the covenantal relationship that we have with God. We're not asking God to perform as he would if we had a contract. We're asking him to acknowledge the relationship that he has with us, that covenantal relationship that God has with God's people. And to remember us, to teach us, to hold us in God's grace and mercy. During Lent, we're often challenged to give something up. I challenge you, instead of giving something up, to add something. During this time of Lent, add an acknowledgement of that covenantal relationship between God and God's people. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the wonders of creation. Just see how much God has blessed humans. How much God has blessed each one of us. And just spend some time pondering the faithfulness of our God as we walk during this Lenten season, toward the cross, the greatest sign of love. For the next several weeks, we are going to be singing the same hymn as Hymn of the Day, in the hope that perhaps we'll get to know it. You'll find it at the very back of your bulletin. And it doesn't come from our hymnal, it actually comes from a UCC hymnal. And I want to read over the words of this and give a little explanation of why I chose this as a hymn of the day for the season of Lent. So verse 1, God of our life, through all the circling years, we trust in you. In all the past, through all our hopes and fears, your care shines through. With each new day, when morning lifts the veil, we own your mercies, God, which never fail. God of the past, our times are in your hand, with us abide. Lead us by faith to hope's true promised land, be now our guide. Bless us in times of darkness and of light, then face fair vision changes into sight. So in those first two verses, we acknowledge what God has done in the past and how God is meeting us today. In the last verse, God of the coming years, through paths unknown we follow you. When we are strong, O leave us not alone, our refuge true. Be now for us in life our daily bread, our heart's true home, where all our years are spent. So the acknowledgement of God's great mercy toward us, that God has been faithful in the past, merciful in the past, and God will continue to be faithful and merciful and gracious. And so I chose this hymn in the hope that as we sing it week after week, its words and its truth will sink deep into our hearts. And before we sing it, let us pray. O God of our life, we thank you for the covenantal relationship that we have with you. We acknowledge that you fulfill every part of what you've promised. And we make promises to you that we find difficult sometimes to fulfill. O God of our life, be with us in the days ahead. Help us to follow you, to be faithful to you. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.